Hey guys, I am so excited for Ethos Training Systems to be the official sponsor for my podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z. They are located at 314 West Institute Place, Chicago, and are Chicago's first sustainable strength, conditioning, and mobility group training facility. Their three main focuses are fat loss and conditioning, strength development, and injury prevention and mobility. Be sure to sign up for their new client promo at ethostrainingshy.com and make them your number one for all your training needs. Follow them on Instagram at ethostrainingshy for awesome tips and updates. Getting Zen with Gen Z, empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, health. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. Today's guest I brought on, it's somebody that I've been following on social media for quite a while now and just find her to be so empowering and inspirational. And I love how authentic and real she is and vulnerable in so many of her posts. And I think she's just so easy to relate to. But of course, one of the reasons I love her too is that she's a fellow jiu-jitsu athlete, which is pretty incredible. But I wanted to have her come on to talk about some mental and physical strength, especially the importance of lifting for women. I know I've had a couple people on talking about some strength ideas, and I know I talk about it a lot with personal training, some of my clients, but she's definitely, you know, as being in the realm of bodybuilding, also, I think, a great person to be able to speak to it. And she's coming on over the phone lines in Houston. I wanted to say Austin because she just competed and took gold at the IBJJF Austin Open this weekend. So congratulations and welcome, Stephanie Trevino.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited. I said, as we talked before we started recording, it's like we've been able to follow each other on social media, but we haven't actually been able to connect and talk. So I'm just super grateful that you were able to take the time for this opportunity and to be able to share all of your insight and knowledge, because I think it's, you know, one of the biggest things that I love about your posts, and I really want to hear more about your story, kind of how your career has unfolded. And, but you give off this sense of, not only physical strength, you are very physically strong, but just the mental strength that it takes to, as an athlete, you know, you talk about that and dive deep into it and just being vulnerable and talking about life situations. I think you are just so great at opening up to your audience about it. And I think it's just so wonderful, for people to be able to relate and realize that, you know, there are a lot of ups and downs, in life and struggles, especially when you have certain goals and things that you want to accomplish. But I really think that you're somebody that's an amazing advocate to be able to speak to a lot of empowerment for women. And I'm just honored to have you on. So thank you again.
Thank you.
I want to talk about, though, what is, you know, I know you're, you know, a jiu-jitsu athlete, of course, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. But you were also part of the IFBB, the Professional League for Bodybuilding, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's correct.
So I want to know a little bit about your journey before we get into some stuff and the message, the mission of your business right now, and what you do currently. I want you to give us a little bit of insight and, you know, share some of your story and your background of how you got to where you are today.
Okay. It's a little bit interesting. I didn't have a very traditional athletic childhood. You know, when I was growing up, it was me and my sister, and we were total opposites. You know, she was the athlete. She played every sport. And I was, you know, like the nerd. I wanted to be inside. I wanted to read books. I didn't want to do anything like with physical activity.
Uh-huh.
And so it wasn't until I was 19, and you know, I had my son at 19, and I was working full time. You know, I was going to school, I was doing everything you could think of. I was eating terribly because, you know, I never worked out or ate right or any of that. And I had a coworker actually tell me, you know, basically that I was fat. And he was like, look, he's like, I'm telling you this because I care about you. And I don't want you to live your whole life, you know, being miserable. So he's like, let me help you. Let me show you how to lift weights. And, you know, and if you like it, just keep up with it. And I loved it. I mean, it was just something so different than what I was used to. Mm-hmm. And I never stopped. I mean, like, never stopped lifting weights. And that's kind of how I got into, like, the whole, like, working out, lifting. And I always believed in, like, hiring a professional. So, you know, people that know more than I do. And so I had some really good trainers. And then I came across one trainer I worked with for a while. And he was a bodybuilder. And he said, you know what, you should try this. You would love it. It's like pushes you out of your comfort zone. And the rest is history. That's kind of how I got into it.
Wow. So how old were you at that point?
I was like 21, I think 21 when I started lifting.
Okay. Awesome. Oh my gosh. So when you, I mean, I love lifting personally. And that's kind of how I started my jiu-jitsu journey. Was I was doing a lot of lifting on my own and then working with a personal trainer and doing lifting and boxing. And of course he did jiu-jitsu. So there's that, there's mm-hmm. that beginning, mm-hmm. And how that unfolded. But I think it's something, there's something so empowering about just lifting weights and feeling like physically feeling that strength. You know, it's just such a, I mean, I know that that's something that attracted me right away and I absolutely loved it. And I think people who kind of don't or don't understand it as much might not have had that professional or somebody to kind of help guide them through it. But I mean, I think it's one of the most amazing things that people in general can do, but women also.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that was one of the things that, you know, it drew me in right away. I never really worried about, you know, having a small waist or looking a certain way. I just loved how strong I felt.
Yes.
And that sense of like strength, it really like, it just kind of like changed my whole life. It changed the way I saw myself, mm-hmm. you know, because before I had always felt, you know, kind of like an odd duck. I felt like out of place. I felt very, you know, I had a lot of insecurities. I just didn't feel like I was living up to, you know, what I could do with my life. And it's so weird, but lifting just, it gave me this sense of strength that I never felt before.
That's amazing. I mean, well, it gives you a sense of confidence. And when you're achieving mm-hmm. something and feeling stronger, even though I feel like it's physically, it definitely gives you that mental confidence, I think, to be able to achieve. I mean, even in jiu-jitsu, it's like, if I can accomplish this, you know, I can accomplish anything. And you get that sense of confidence overall, I think, just in life.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's really what, you know, what it did for me. And over the years, I saw it do the same for other women. And so it was just something that I kept up with. And through lifting, you know, I learned other sports and other things, but I always came back to it. It was just it was something that I did, you know, even by myself. And it was just like a time to be alone with my thoughts mm-hmm. and what I was doing and focused on it. And so it gave me like this really good sense of just well-being and it really changed, you know, my perception of myself.
That's incredible. So how did you get into like the world of bodybuilding? I mean, because I know lifting, you know, people can go in and have a lifting regimen and routine but to really commit, I feel like to get into the bodybuilding world is like a few notches up.
Oh, it definitely is. And I mean, anybody that, you know, spends hours in the gym, you know, they see a lot of competitors, but there's not very many of them. So they're very few and far between. And I did one show and it was really good. I love the experience. So for me, though, in the beginning, it was just kind of like, okay, I'm going to use bodybuilding to stay in shape. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I did. I did one show a year, two shows a year, you know, nothing major. It was just like, that was kind of my way of making sure I didn't gain a lot of weight back or, you know, because I had some from like being 190 pounds and I went down to like 109.
Wow.
And so I knew that I had the ability to gain weight really fast. And mm-hmm. so I used bodybuilding to kind of help me like stay, you know, relatively small, but also feel strong. And I just kept up with that for a couple of years. And it wasn't until probably 2015, 2016, I had already been doing it for a couple of years that I was like, you know what, I'm going to become very serious about this. And I'm actually going to compete on the local level, the national level, and I'm going to try to, you know, get my pro card.
Wow. So what do you have to do to be able to do it? Like to get your pro card, like what does that entail?
So there's different levels of competition. There are your local level competitions, and that's like, you know, the smaller shows, a lot of new people, a lot of first timers. Once you get like a top five in local shows, mm-hmm. you're then eligible to go on to the national stage. Now, the national stage is, you know, there's only a few shows a year. They're huge shows. I mean, you could be going against 30 girls, 50 girls, and they're from all over the United States. They're basically the winners of everywhere else that kind of come to this one point, and they're trying to win a pro card, and they only give out, you know, one or two per division. And I mean, I know girls that compete and they try to get their pro cards for years, 5 years, 6 years. And it's like constant battle.
Oh my gosh. So what does it mean that when, like, what do you get when you get your pro card?
So basically what happens if you do win a pro card, mm-hmm. a couple things, you're a professional athlete. And so you have that name, that title. You also get to compete on the pro level. So when you compete as a pro, you actually start competing for money.
Okay.
And so before, yeah, on the amateur level, you're paying for everything. But on the pro level, you basically are competing for free. Like they don't charge, they just make you sign a contract. And if you win at the pro level, now you're getting cash prizes. Now you can go onto the Olympia stage. Now you're getting more like sponsors, endorsements, you know, same as with most professional sports.
Right, right. Wow. So you went on, so you achieved the pro card, you achieved the pro status.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. When did you achieve that? What year?
That was in 2016. It was, I had another baby, my daughter, she's 8, and that was in 2011. And I started, kept on competing after that. And then it was about 2016 that I got my pro card in Miami.
Oh my God. What did you feel like? How was that like moment for you?
That whole year, that was probably the first year that I was something switched. I mean, before I was competing and, you know, I was giving maybe 85% to everything, uh-huh. to my diet, to my training, you know, and I was really almost felt like I could do better. And so finally, one year, I just said, you know what, I'm going to do this. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it 100%. And I did. And that year was just incredible. It was also scary because I competed in June at a show, and I passed out the day before.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
You know, fractured my orbital, had stitches in my face, and I still competed.
Oh, my goodness.
And I actually won that show. And then that same year is when I won pro card. It was just like, it was different. It was like, I had kind of stopped believing my own like bull, you know, I had stopped believing my own stories on why I couldn't do this. Cause you know,
yeah.
I was a mom, I was in my 30s. I had C-sections, you know, I was like, I'm never going to win my pro card. And finally, when I kind of like stopped believing all of that, you know, I really saw what my body could do, and it just changed everything.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, especially too, after two kids, like, you know, but I think that's something that we, you know, we probably give a lot of advice. I know I give a lot of advice to my clients, and I'm sure you're in the same boat, but it's like, believing that for yourself. It's like, you know, I have to take my own advice. And it's like a lot of these excuses are meaningless. Like I know that, you know, I can push past these things, and there are no boundaries or limits, but we just have to believe in that and really want to go for it 100%. Cause that's when I think amazing things can happen.
Oh, definitely. We always talk ourselves out of doing things because whatever reason, X, Y, Z. But, you know, over the years, I've just seen pretty much every situation you can ever imagine of a woman who has, you know, something that I thought would hold her back, and she's just excelled through it. And mm-hmm. so that was kind of like, for me, like, okay, I can also do this. And not only that, but my story will help other women know that they too can do this.
Oh, 1,000%. And that's what it is. I think the experience of, like, you know, it's not, it is about obviously what you want and what you're passionate about and the goals you want to achieve. But I think when we really look at that and share our stories, a lot of times people are, I think, are really uncomfortable to open up and talk about what they go through. And I understand that. And they kind of want it to be like, well, I don't want to bring attention onto myself and talk about myself all the time. And I'm like, it doesn't have to, when it's not in that light and you're doing something, you're sharing with the intention to want to be able to help encourage others and, you know, motivate and inspire others to achieve their goals, you become so relatable. And I think people love seeing that, you know, they know when your mission is to really kind of help and spread, you know, that awareness and that encouragement versus just kind of talking about yourself and your story just because.
Absolutely. And I think really that was, you know, ever since I was a little girl, I always used to love to write like that. It was just such a, it was like a peaceful place for me. It mm-hmm. felt like I could express myself. Whereas, you know, when I speak, it doesn't always come out the right way. But when I write, it's like, it just is on a different level. And when I first started my social media, it was kind of weird for me. I wasn't really sure. You know, I was trying to find a way to be myself, but inspire people, but also show, you know, showcase what I do and the women that I work with. Mm-hmm. And so it was all kind of, you know, just jumbled. You get a lot of advice as a business owner, you know, everybody's should do this. You should do this. You shouldn't do this.
Yes.
And it was hard. And so finally for me, it was really that point where, no, this is who I am, and mm-hmm. I'm going to make the choice on what I do and what I post. And I cannot care about everybody else's opinion of that.
Yeah. I think a lot of times people want to jump in and give their two cents just, and not with any bad intention, but just wanting to help. And, you know, sometimes you have to take things with a grain of salt, and it's like when so many opinions are filtering in, it's like, okay, I need to kind of detach a little and come back to, you know, what am I doing and why? And coming back to that purpose and that reasoning to kind of get to who you are, you know, because I think people can tell that when you're super, just real and opening up, they know that it's you. They can recognize that that's your language and it's coming from a good place and it's very genuine. So, you know, that's good that I think we ultimately get back to, like, no, you know, what does Stephanie want to say? What does Jen want to say? Like, and you know, you put that out there. But your writing is beautiful. I mean, I think, you know, writing is such a therapeutic tool. And I agree with you that mm-hmm. on that is a lot of stages in my life and times that I had to communicate with people, I would sometimes shut down. And I even encourage my clients and myself, like I love using journaling as a tool and just writing, because I feel like you can just be so much more expressive, and it's a safer place to communicate your feelings and allow yourself to feel those feels, you know, a little bit easier. But the way you write things, I love reading your posts. They're incredible.
Thank you. And I think, like, for me, what kept me, like, you know, going and kept me doing that kind of stuff was, in the beginning, I was like, you know what, I'm in fitness, and I would see, you know, everybody else's fitness things, and everybody was always talking about how great it was, and then, you know, how great, like, competing and bodybuilding was. And then I would have these girls come to me to coach them, and it would hit a brick wall of when it wasn't fun. It wasn't, you know, everything that people said it was. And so for me, it was like, okay, I want to show, you know, other women that, yes, this is a great thing, but there are also, like, some really bad days and some dark days and all of this you're going to have to go through. But you can use it in a positive way. And for me, that was kind of like where my writing came from. And that's what kept me bodybuilding for so long, is that when I was in those, you know, very depleted states, it's, you really are faced like with your own self in the mirror. Like, these are my emotions. These are how I really feel. And being able to share and express that has just been amazing. And the feedback that I've gotten from other women has just, it just keeps me doing it.
Well, I think, you know, it's funny. I had someone on a while back too that, she's a nutritionist, and she's also started getting into the world of bodybuilding and stuff on the amateur level. And, you know, we were just talking about kind of the imagery that you see on social media too, where, you know, you might be posting a picture at a show or, you know, getting ready for a competition that week. But it's very different than, I think, how, like, the journey that it takes to get there. And she's like, you know, I don't walk around like this all the time. And I think people look at those posts and think like, oh, that's what I'm going to look like every day. But there's a whole process that goes behind that. And there's so many different emotions that go behind that, to that day of getting there and getting onto that stage. And I think being able to show all sides of it and express it, it's like, we know in life, it's not all rainbows and fairy tales. Like, you know, there's real moments, but to be able to, express those and help people that might be going through the same thing and struggling, but also just showing how the determination and the perseverance and the process inside that world. Because I think a lot of times people don't understand, you know, how much work it takes to get there and what you have to go through. I think you're able to expose that side of it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and that's one of the things too, like when I coach and I have girls that come to me and say, I want to do a show, I tell them everything up front. You know, when you get on stage, you're probably the unhealthiest that you will ever be. Mm-hmm. And my goal as a coach is not to keep you there. You do not want to stay there. You feel terrible. And so it's, you know, to take you back up to a regular and a healthy weight. And I try to, you know, only keep you at a low body fat and a low weight for a very short amount of time. And that's what I think people don't understand. They see images on social media and they're like, oh, they look like that all the time. And most girls, I would say 95% of them, do not look like that all the time.
Yes, that was like a huge, I mean, we had that conversation because I'm like, you know, coming from a jiu-jitsu perspective and then a bodybuilding perspective, and we've, you know, both worked kind of, you know, in nutrition, but it's like, you know, we need to, on the side of jiu-jitsu, have to be like fueled and ready to mm-hmm. physically fight, you know, and in bodybuilding, it's more of a, you know, aesthetic, you know, per se, to yes. kind of get to that point. So you're not physically, you know, fighting, but you need to be ready for more of, you know, that aesthetic to look a certain way. So it's work in different ways. But she's like, you know, she was talking about like her diet and like what she ate while she was lifting. And she's like, you know, it's different. Like, she's like, I have to take in a lot to be able to build this strength. Mm-hmm. And then it's like the week of the show is when you start kind of working backwards and start depleting slowly. And she's like, it is not healthy to walk around like this. Like, that's, and you do it in a very safe, monitored way, obviously. But that's, I think, the big misconception is people think like, oh, I want to look like that and I'm going to walk around looking like that all day long. And it's like, well, no, you're not, because that's not a healthy level to be at.
Absolutely. And nor do you want to, because mm-hmm. you will not feel good. You'll feel terrible.
Yeah. You're like, believe me. You're like, I know. But it's so intriguing. Like, this is, I was talking about this with somebody the other day. Like, I love feeling strong and I love lifting. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I've competed so much in jiu-jitsu, and this is kind of the first year I've taken off, is like, I've, teaching has really become my passion and priority. And mm-hmm. I, you know, I'm like, I feel like I want to just get more into the, you know, I don't know if it's powerlifting or doing some kind of like amateur bodybuilding, you know, show. I don't know. I like, it intrigues me. So I was like, well, I'll be talking to Stephanie. So I might get some inspiration there.
Yeah. And it's definitely fun. I always tell people, especially people who are athletes or who compete in other things, when they mention that they want to try bodybuilding, I'm like, it is definitely an experience. It isn't an experience like you will never, because you're never really going to diet as hard as you do for a bodybuilding show, mm-hmm. And train. I mean, you're still working out 2, 3, 4 hours a day, and you're on, almost no carbs and lots of protein. And it's just a crazy, crazy thing. But it does, for me, at least, it took me somewhere mentally that I had never been before. And I felt like I saw the world clearly at those points. Like, I felt like, I was joking. I tell my girls, when all the luxuries of life are gone and all you have is like your food, your workouts, your sleep, like all of a sudden you kind of realize what is really important and what's not important.
Oh, 1,000%. I believe that for sure. I feel like it just takes you to that raw place where you're like so almost so clear. You get a lot of that clarity.
Yes, absolutely. And that was a great place for me. I loved being there because it would just ignite in me like a different level of creativity, mm-hmm. where I could write and I could express, and it would take me to this like very like dark place that I would not have normally gone to. And so it kind of like made me like more aware of who I am, how I feel, and the way that I see life.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's just part. I feel like these experiences and journeys just evolve us. It's like the evolution of who we are and what we can achieve, what we can do, and just these life experiences. Like, there's something about just, I think, pushing yourself to the limits. And I don't know, I'm a Capricorn. I'm very like goal oriented and, an overachiever, mm-hmm. sometimes, but it's like, I need to have things set. Like, I'm so organized and I'm very like, okay, I need routine and I do this and that. And, there's something about that. It's like, okay, like I've done this, like onto another experience, just to kind of see what it's like and, I don't know. I've been thinking about it, so we might have to talk.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely fun. I think that's how, and I'm very much the same way, like, okay, that goal is accomplished. Now what's next? Uh-huh. And that's how I found, I did CrossFit for 4 years. That's how I found jiu-jitsu. Like, that's how, all of these things have like evolved and come into my life, is just because I always felt like, I want to learn something new. I want to do something else. Like, so it was like constantly like trying to take in as much as I possibly can.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, so, of course that's something I want to talk about too, but I mean, jiu-jitsu is the love of my life is what mm-hmm. I like mm-hmm. to say. But when did you start training jiu-jitsu? How did that happen?
So I've been training it for about 5 years now.
Okay.
It was actually, I think I started the way most moms start. My son was doing jiu-jitsu. My ex-husband started jiu-jitsu. And I would just take my son to jiu-jitsu class and just sit there and kind of watch. And then, and then my ex-husband started doing jiu-jitsu. And then all of a sudden, like, our normal friends turned into, now we have jiu-jitsu friends. And it took a while, but after a couple of years, I was like, I'm going to give this a try. And I really started it because my son was like entering his teenage years, and mm-hmm. And I was training with him. So he was coming to the adult class and I would train with him. And then he got to a point where he was like, I don't want to train jiu-jitsu anymore. I want to play basketball. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to keep doing jiu-jitsu. and I just kept doing it. I even bodybuilded through jiu-jitsu. I would take some time off when I would get really close to a show.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with bodybuilding. It just gave me, a way, an outlet. It made me feel strong. It made me feel powerful. It made me feel great. And then having to be able to mentor other women that came into the sport, that's what like kept me there. And it's just been an amazing thing for me.
So that I want to talk about a couple of things there before we kind of dive back into jujitsu a little more. I do want to mention, of course, you do have, so your site is strengthbodymind.com, but you are the owner and creator of Strength of Body and Mind. So you help basically coach and work with, as I think I read your mission on the site, was to strengthen individuals, families, and entire communities through physical, mental, and professional development. So you really have been working with a lot of other people and coaching them through, not, is it just bodybuilding or lifting, or kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I guess it would be kind of like a jack of all trades. The way that it started was I used to work for medical clinics. And when I worked for medical clinics, you know, I eventually found my way working for MD Anderson, which is one of the biggest cancer institutions in the world. And I gravitated toward the human resource side. So when I worked in human resources, what I did there was I used to teach diversity. We used to teach cultural competence, and I used to work with the wellness department. So the wellness department, our role focus was just on getting the employees healthy. And that's kind of where I got all of the knowledge base for, you know, dieting and exercising. And I was there for about 8 years. And then I started saying, you know what, I want to train people. I want to do this on the side. I started doing that. And then I was like, I want to do nutrition. I'm going to start doing that. And so, and then it just got to a point where, you know, I had graduated with my master's degree in business because I thought I was going to be in the corporate world for the rest of my life. And, it got to a point where I had so many clients that I was like, I have to make a choice. I can either stay at my, you know, regular job, or I can take a chance and do this on my own. And everybody that I worked with was like, don't do it on your own. It's so scary. It's hard. You know, owning a business is really difficult. But I took that leap, and it was absolutely was hard. You know, it has ups and downs.
Yep, I know.
and I don't know if I was really ready for that. But I did have other friends. I had one of my best friends. We were on the speech and debate team when we were in high school. And she is just like this business, like she buys and sells businesses. Like she is just a super entrepreneur. And she was like, look, you are messed up. She could just tell by the way things I post. She's like, you need some help. She's like, have you ever listened to like Tony Robbins? And I was like, no, never. She was like, you need to listen to him. He's going to change your life. And so I listened to him, and I just kind of like mass consumed everything he ever wrote. And it changed my perspective, kind of changed my mindset. And then I started, you know, my business started growing, and I've been doing it now for 6 years, 7 years, and I really could not imagine doing anything else. And so what I do now is I coach people with nutrition. I coach people with personal training. If they want to do a show, if they just want to do weight loss, I have my, my human resource background. So I can do like the professional side as well. And right now I'm doing my PhD in psychology, but really all I'm going to do with that is just be a better coach.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's I feel like that comes in handy big time. Like I had one of the my good friend Dr. Duffy on, who's a psychologist, and I'm like, because I also am a Reiki practitioner, but I'm like, I feel like I do what it is. It's a lot of like spiritual therapy, but it's like you end up, you know, with your clients, especially when you're coaching them through such big things like training and wellness and nutrition, and there's so many different conversations around mindset and kind of. You know, I think we know that there's usually other issues besides the fact of just eating better that kind of, you know, linger in people's minds and is why that, you know, they do certain things and how they feel about themselves. So, you know, I think that definitely comes in handy to be able to just help yourself grow as a coach.
Oh, absolutely. I think as a coach, I I would feel so defeated when I would have someone that I just couldn't help. And it wasn't because, you know, of what they were eating or how they were working out. It was like, I really couldn't get into where their mind was at. And yes. I would just see them kind of like, you know, on this downward spiral. And it's like, I didn't have the tools that I needed to help them. And it's just the worst feeling. And so that was kind of like what made me start saying, okay, you know what? I love school. I love being in school. I'm mm-hmm. a super nerd. I'm going to go back to school and learn psychology. I'm going to learn like the brain and how to really get in someone's head and change those like negative thought patterns. And it's been pretty amazing.
That is awesome. Congrats to you, first of all, for, you know, taking that leap of faith and having the business for so many years and continuing your education and just, you know, life's a hustle, man, and you're living that grind. And I think it's mm-hmm. just that's so empowering. But, you know, the mission is because you want to help other people. And it's like, what's better and more fulfilling than that? Like, that's just incredible, I think.
Absolutely.
But back to you know, since I kind of derailed us off of the jujitsu boat, but okay. I do want to talk about what experiences have you found, or what differences do you think there are between like bodybuilding and the jujitsu world, or similarities, I guess.
Well, and both, because people do ask me about, you know, my transition, I guess, from one sport to the other.
Yeah.
One of the biggest differences to me was bodybuilding is a very individual sport. You know, nobody is, you know, making sure you're working out, making sure you're eating right. Like nobody's saying, oh, let's go, you know, work out at this time. You know, it's a very solo sport. You're doing mm-hmm. it on your own. You're doing your workouts on your own, your cardio. Whereas jiu-jitsu, you know, it's a community. And so, you know, if you don't go to class, you know, you have people calling you like, where are you? You know, I haven't seen you. And so it's a very community and class based. And so, and jiu-jitsu, very similar to bodybuilding. They're like small worlds though.
Yeah.
So you know everyone. And so, you know, everybody that does bodybuilding kind of knows everybody that does bodybuilding, and same in the jiu-jitsu. So they do both have very like robust communities, but it's just like, it boils down to with like the way you train. Bodybuilding is more a solo training, and jiu-jitsu is more, you know, focused on like the class.
Right. And yeah, and you need, you know, there's a lot of things you can do on your own, but you definitely need your training partners to be able mm-hmm. to drill moves and roll around and get better, especially for a tournament. I know this is probably going to be a hard question, but is there one that you prefer over the other?
I would say, I mean, for now, like right now, I would say jiu-jitsu, definitely, just because I feel like with bodybuilding, I feel like I've kind of put in my time with that. You know, I did it for 10, 11 years. Uh-huh. And, you know, and I felt like I was at a point where I could walk away and be satisfied.
Yeah.
And I will never forget, it was last year. I actually competed as a pro last year, and I will never forget how I knew it was time for me to retire is I was competing as a pro, and I had two girls that were my clients that were also competing as pros, because we all compete against each other.
Uh-huh.
And so I was backstage basically worried about them.
Yeah.
And not even remembering I had to get on stage as well. And then whenever I did get on stage, one of my competitors turned the wrong way when she was posing, and I'm yelling at her on stage, you know, all suited up and stuff. And at that point I was like, you know what? This is the perfect sign that I should not be competing anymore, and I should just be coaching.
You're like, so like, I'm more of like the mama bear and coaching and making sure that everybody is doing what they need to do.
Yes. Yes. And so, you know, and I've always kind of felt like ever since I started jiu-jitsu, I felt like that was my long-term plan. You know, it's a lot easier on my body. Believe it or not, bodybuilding is very hard on your body. And I feel like I can do jiu-jitsu in my 50s and my 60s. And so, you know, that was always kind of like, okay, this is how I'm going to still compete and stay active for the rest of my life.
Totally. It's such a great lifestyle. And it's like, and that's one of the things, it's like, you want to do it for the rest of your life. You know, it's one of those things that you can do, for life, but you just stay so physically fit. And I think so mentally healthy as well. Just because it is such a mind, body, soul connection. I think when you're on the mats and, you know, just even like bodybuilding, I mean, it definitely, you learn a lot about yourself and, just that experience and journey. It's just, you know, every day, I mean, there's ups and downs and there's struggles, but you push through it. And, you know, I think that's just the beauty of the process, really.
Absolutely.
Well, so that's awesome. I love that, you know, you are loving and enjoying and just living the life of jiu-jitsu. And, and with jiu-jitsu too, I think it's super important to have, workouts and training that kind of, can complement that well. And I think, you know, having a lifting routine can definitely complement your needs in jiu-jitsu. And when I'm lifting too, you know, I'm not lifting just to lift, but it will be to make my jiu-jitsu better. You know, so having that, I think, focus and those goals are really helpful, just like any client. But what do you, I want you to share some tips for especially beginners or even, you know, jiu-jitsu athletes, but anybody in general, if they want to start lifting and not necessarily, you know, getting into the bodybuilding realm, but just for general fitness, what tips can you suggest for them to get started?
Well, I'm a big advocate of strength training for women. I mean, mm-hmm. that is just, every woman on the planet should do some kind of strength training. And, you know, you can even look at, like, you know, stats and numbers based on, you know, as we age, we lose muscle. Okay, well, how do we offset that? By strength training. And so, but it goes so well with jiu-jitsu just because you always got to look at, in jiu-jitsu, you know, you may get tossed around, you may get moved around, stuff happens. The stronger your muscles are, the more they protect your body, they protect your bones. And so it just goes so well. And I always tell people that ask about that transition, you don't have to lift like a bodybuilder, right? You don't have to do back on one day, shoulders on one day, legs, you know, you don't have to split it up. You don't have to even be in the gym lifting weights 6 days a week.
Right.
But you should be doing something a few times a week, even if they're full body circuits, even if it's only kettlebell training. You know, you should do stuff that makes the muscles that you use in jiu-jitsu stronger, because not only will it make you stronger, but it will also protect them.
That's a very good point, because I think sometimes people say, like, you know, well, we don't want to like out muscle somebody in jiu-jitsu, and we want to utilize more technique. And that's fine. There's a, you know, a place for that, of course. Like, you want to be technical, you want to be a technical player, but the stronger you are too, and just having that kind of routine, that's protecting yourself, just building some of that strength and that muscle, even for a better base, even for being heavier, even for, you know, and not necessarily in weight, but you know what I mean when I say being heavy,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's a really good and valid point that I haven't really heard somebody point out, but it's kind of like a protection to yourself and your body.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I teach a women's fitness class, at the MMA school that I'm at, and my girls, they hear this all the time, because, you know, you have your bones and then you have your muscle on top of your bones, and then you have your fat that's on top of the muscle that's on top of the bones. And if you think about it that way, you're thinking about layers.
Mm-hmm.
And those layers are protecting your bones, and they're protecting you so that something doesn't get broken or something doesn't get injured. And the stronger your body is overall, like the whole body is stronger. And so it's really important, you know, when you're thinking about training or competing, especially, because you want your body to be as strong as it possibly can. And strength training is just one of the ways that you can do that.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think this is for anybody, you know, like, we're obviously talking too on the jiu-jitsu level, but for anybody in life, I mean, that goes, we want to be able to protect our bones and have, you know, that muscle there to, I think, live a longer, better life. But it's also, you know, people have the misconception, I think, that they pick up a weight and, you know, especially women, they think they're just going to like blow up, you know, with all these muscles. Absolutely. And it's like, that's not, you know, that's not what's going to happen. Because, so, I mean,
you would be.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you would be surprised how many women come to do a consult with me. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that they tell me is, I want muscle, but I don't want to look like you.
I believe that, though. I've had somebody say that to me. I mean, you have more muscles than I do, but I'm like, somebody had said, they're like, I like how you look, one of my clients, but she's like, I don't want to look that, you know, muscular. And I'm like, okay, you know, to each their own, but there's different ways, you know, everybody has their own goals. And it's like, just getting some of that strength and being healthy in there, like we can work towards that. And it's going to be a little more individual for, you know, that person versus, you know, you might not be doing as high, high weight or, you know, whatever those goals are. But it's funny. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure people say that to you because you are so like fit and buff. I love it.
Yeah, it's. I always tell people, like, when they say things like that, I tell them, like, it took me 16 years to look like this.
Yeah.
And I purposely tried to get big. So,
right.
You know, I think you're safe. You can pick up some weight. You're not going to, you know, look like a man with one weight session. You'll be all
right. For sure. And that's the thing. Like I said, that's why it's good to talk about. And that's a misconception because it has so many benefits. And just because you're going to start picking up weights doesn't mean you're going to be a bodybuilder tomorrow. It takes a lot more to it than that. But I mean, and we know too, like lifting and incorporating weights and doing like strength endurance is such a great way to lose fat.
Oh, definitely. I always tell people this. Like, they ask me, if I have the choice between lifting and cardio, what should I choose? And I said, lifting all day. And they always ask me why. And I say, it burns more calories. You can go lift for 30 minutes. You're going to burn more calories than if you did cardio for 30 minutes. I mean, of course, if you're running fast or something like that. But if you're on a cardio machine, 30 minutes, you're not going to burn that many calories.
No. And I think people think that they're like, oh, I can just go and, you know, be at a consistent pace and do the elliptical or treadmill for 30 minutes. And that's my workout. And it's like, well, we should maybe be incorporating some different things to really like elevate and spike that heart rate and, you know, and get strong. But, and I think just lifting too, it's just so much more, I mean, I know people love like running out there and love their cardio, but like it's just so much more fun to me, I think, just being able to like lift and have different movements and, you know, it's just so much more appealing, I think.
I agree with you.
So what do you think are some of the best things? Like if somebody was just going to, you know, start doing a training session, what movements, you know, and of course working with a professional would be great, to start, but what are some of the core like movements or basics that you think they should focus on?
I think that there are very simple things that you can do. I'm a big fan of push-ups. Women hate push-ups, but you know what? We need that upper body strength. So, you know, push-ups, your body weight squats, you know, wall sits, you know, things like that are really important. Mm-hmm. Now, I always tell women, like, if they don't have access to a gym or they don't have access to a lot of weight, they don't really need a lot. You know, some resistance bands are great. A kettlebell is great. There's so many things you can do with a kettlebell. And there's so many different body weight things you can do, like, you know, tricep dips on a chair and push-ups and squats and, you know, things like that are really, they're fundamental and they help your body overall and they don't require a lot.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing too. Like people don't realize there's so many different like home workouts that they can do and, mm-hmm. and full body workouts in general. And I love kettlebells. I mean, I think they're just amazing and there's so many, it's such a core full body, you know, movement. But there's so many things you can utilize and just do on your own. That's your own body weight that can get you like super lean and build your strength like crazy.
Yep. And I think that a lot of people miss that. They think, oh, I have to go to the gym. I have to, you know, be around a bunch of people I don't know or I don't like. Or, and no, you can do everything at home. It's just really being able to, like, stay consistent and map out a plan that you can stick to and that you force yourself to, you know, to do, just like you schedule anything. You should schedule your workout.
Totally. Oh my God. We sound like the same person right there. I'm always talking about scheduling. If you can schedule in time, you know, we schedule things for everything else. So self-care and working out and all that, like, it's important. Like, you time, like, you need to schedule it in, man, you know, just like anything. You know, especially if you want to accomplish that, it's important. So if people go to your website, can they, do you have like a lot of resources and tools on there for them? What's all on your website?
So they'll find some links to some of the other things that I do. They'll find some links to some videos. I have a YouTube channel that it's never update, but it has like a lot of like, you know, basic like workout things, some motivational videos. And it just has a lot of different links for different things that I find useful, different things that I use personally. And, you know, they can always send in any questions or email. And I'm pretty good about my social media. Like, I keep up with everything, so I answer questions, and you know, I'll you know, send all kinds of things. I'm just like a little. I have so many resources that I like use all the time.
Yeah, that's awesome. What do you? So, what's some of your biggest motivation that keeps you going in life and with all your endeavors?
It's definitely women empowerment. I mean, that's at the root of everything that I do. It's just, you know, being able to show women that they can do whatever they want and they are as strong as they want. And that is just like the driving force for everything that I do. And now that I have a daughter, you know, she watches me and she trains jiu-jitsu. She's been doing jiu-jitsu for years. But, you know, sometimes when we go to like an open mat or something and it's all guys and they're all big, she'll tell me, she's like, you're the smallest person here. And I'm like, that's okay. I am okay with that because I'm still going to try to kill them just like, you know, anybody else. And so just, you know, being able to have her watch me and know that, you know, strength is beautiful. That's a great thing.
That's so amazing. It's so important. And I think it's one of the most fulfilling things, like, and I can tell, you know, through everything you do, how important it is. And, you know, even just with the transition of, me starting the women's program and teaching, that to me, it's one of the most fulfilling things ever in life is to see anyone else, but a woman especially, just feel so strong and empowered about herself. I think just watching that and seeing that progress and that confidence build within somebody, that right there is the most amazing feeling ever.
I am with you on that 100%.
I mean, it's just such an amazing thing to see that, and to see like what people can really realize that they're capable of. It's like, that's just, you know, you sit back and just kind of watch it. And it's like, that's incredible. That's what life's about right there. I think it's awesome.
Yep, I agree.
So where can, you know, as I keep talking about all these posts that you do on social media, we should probably tell people where they can follow you and read them. So where can people, what's your handle for Instagram and Facebook?
So on Instagram and Facebook, they're both Strength Body Mind. So it's Strength Body Mind. I have two Instagram accounts, and the reason I did that was one was kind of focused more on like bodybuilding and my bodybuilding clients. The other one is more like my jiu-jitsu and some modeling photos and things like that. So it's a more personal Instagram for me. Mm-hmm. And so they're both Strength Body Mind. One has an underscore, one doesn't. And then on Facebook, it's the same. You can look it up, Strength of Body and Mind.
Awesome. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before we wrap up?
I would just say to any woman that, you know, is kind of feeling lost or feeling like, you know, she's kind of lost herself or she's been living for everyone else but herself, you know, it's never too late. There's always time. There's always a will. There's always a way. And as long as they, you know, reach out and ask people for help, you know, and I think that's something as women that we don't do enough of. We don't know how to ask for help. But once you're on the other side and you realize how powerful and how strong you really can be, your whole life is going to change.
Oh, that's beautiful. I was literally just having that conversation before you and I started recording this podcast about we just feel like we really want to, that we can take care of and accomplish a lot of things on our own and do things on our own. But when you do embrace others and kind of ask for help, I think so much can be accomplished. And, you know, the sky's the limit. So, you know, I agree with you on all that 100%. So thank you so much for taking the time today. I'm so excited that we were able to connect and talk and you were able to share your insight. And, you know, like I said, you guys definitely want to follow Stephanie because her posts are incredible. She's just an incredible person and so genuine and authentic. So thank you so much for being you and who you are and everything that you're an example of. So I appreciate you taking the time. And to all my guests, or all my listeners, I should say, any questions or topics that you have, feel free to send me a message on my Facebook page at Gen Z or on my Instagram at JZ Beauty and the Beast. And if you want one of my new wristbands with the hashtag I Get Zen with Jen and hashtag Embrace Amazing, go ahead and send me a message with your address. I will send you one. And I truly appreciate all the love and support from you guys. And I will talk to you next week. Thanks again, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.